The Reverend Abraham Oropankal, Ph.D., is the pastor of the Catholic community of St. John Neumann in Califon, New Jersey. He holds a doctorate in leadership and administration and supervision from Fordham University. And you have been, as I understand, that the pastor of a number of parishes. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Correct. Well, welcome to Tempus with John Cole. It's great to have you here.
Glad to be here, John.
All right. This is keeping in with our series of the place of religion in modern life. We've had so far on the radio, on this program, minister and the rabbi talking about what they see as the place of religion in life. And I'm asking you, as a Catholic priest, with frankly a very wide perspective on the world, to come in today and talk a little bit about the place of religion in not only individual lives, but within the context of the broader international arena as well. That okay with you?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. How long have you been a priest?
This is my 31st year as a priest.
And if you were on television, if there was a TV feed in here, people wouldn't believe it, because you don't look like you've been a priest for 31 years. My goodness. And you were born, you are from India, is that correct?
Right.
And you went through the ministry, the training in India.
Mm-hmm.
And how does that training differ than, let's say, in the States?
It's very different, because in India we have an earlier formation, meaning we believe in the philosophy of catch them young, meaning giving an early orientation to students, young students, when they have a desire towards priesthood, so that they are able to discern it as they go along. So I entered the seminary at the age of 15,
mm-hmm.
but then I always had the option to leave the seminary after I discerned what my vocation was each year.
Each year of that training.
Right.
Okay, so they were very careful about that. During this training period, did they also give you information, skills, which would enable you to transition to, let's say, a more private type of life?
Absolutely, because they always insisted having a simultaneous degrees, the mm-hmm. church degrees or seminary degrees, theological degrees on the one hand, but on the other hand, a secular degree, so we could go to the universities while we are in the seminary, so we would have a double degrees, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, during my philosophy training, I had a Bachelor of Philosophy degree simultaneously with a Bachelor of Arts from the university.
Now, some people listening on the radio may be thinking, well, this fellow originally came from India, and gee, aren't they all Hindus, or aren't they all Sikhs, or, you know, other kinds of thoughts. Some people hear, well, there's Muslims as well in India and up in the Pakistani region and all. What about the church in the Roman Catholic Church in India?
Right, right. You know, many people think that India is all Hindus.
Mm-hmm.
No, no. India has many religions,
mm-hmm.
and Christianity is certainly one of them, and a very ancient religion, because many people do not know that Christianity in India is as old as Christianity itself, even though it's a minority religion. Because Saint Thomas, one of the disciples of Jesus, one of the 12 apostles, he came to India in the year 52 AD, and he converted the people in the south, and therefore Christianity in India is 2,000 years old, but a minority.
Mm-hmm. And that, when you're talking about the south, you're talking about southern India.
Mm-hmm. It began there. But sure. It has spread to the rest of India today. So at the moment, the Christians would be about 3% of the population. But then, you know, you are talking about the population of India.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would count to some 30 million would be Christians.
My goodness.
Yep.
My goodness.
Yeah.
How did you have a sense that you should be a priest? Is there any way you can describe, I guess, as some people have referred to, your calling?
Oh, yeah. For me, it was not like a kind of earth-shattering experience that made me think about priesthood. It was a gradual liking. I had a liking towards the priesthood because of the admiration I had for the priest who served in my parish. So therefore, I had a liking. Mm-hmm. So I joined the seminary, not knowing fully what it implied, but each year it developed. So I could discern the implications, and I could fine-tune my own desire to be a priest in a better way, in a more mature way as the years went along.
Now, you came to the States then, and how long have you been in the States?
About 18 years now.
All right. And right. You've been serving parishes in what areas?
Basically in New York, mm-hmm. Primarily. I was there because when I was doing my doctoral program, I was serving in two parishes in Rockland County, New York. And then I went back to India for teaching in our inter-diocesan theological college as a professor of theology.
Mm-hmm.
Then I came back a second time. So at that time, I was in New Jersey, primarily Plainfield area.
Mm-hmm.
So East Brunswick area, and now in California region, Hunterdon County.
Okay. Well, from what I understand from some parishioners there in Hunterdon County and the Catholic community of St. John Newman, you're very well liked and respected. One thing that I often hear associated with you, insofar as your reputation, two things. I hear very smart and very spiritual. Do you feel that your training and where you came from, that place in the world that is often associated with spiritualism of one nature or another, may have had a almost an accenting kind of level of interest on your part for delving more into the meaning of life and relationship with God?
Absolutely. I would say for two reasons. First of all, my own family upbringing, the background of my own family, the long, rich tradition that we had as a Catholic community,
mm-hmm.
out of which I was born, So therefore, those spiritual traditions were part and parcel of my own community and my family.
Mm-hmm.
Second, the influence of Hinduism.
Yeah, I was going to bring
culture,
that up.
The Hindu culture, mm-hmm. which is highly spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the two realities that really helped me to be spiritual in that sense.
So the Christian community within India was in a larger setting of a Hindu culture.
Yeah.
Isn't that fair enough to say?
Right.
And so there was influence perhaps on both sides.
Both sides.
Mm. Correct. How, with respect to the discipline of being a good Catholic, mm-hmm. in India versus the discipline of today's Catholic that you've experienced in States,
yeah.
is there a difference in expectancy?
Right. I mean, in terms of a practice, for example, the daily prayer.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we learned from the Hindus, when the day is over and the night is, the darkness is setting in, the Hindus will light the oil lamp, and they will recite the Sahasranama in Sanskrit, meaning the 1,000 names of their gods and goddesses.
Okay.
And when our ancestors saw them doing this, we thought to ourselves, or rather they thought to themselves, if the Hindus can call upon their gods and goddesses, why not we do the same,
mm-hmm.
calling our God? And that's why the evening prayer or the night prayer began as a daily practice, learning from the Hindus.
Mm-hmm.
And so even today, when I go home to visit my parents, when I'm hungry for dinner, when I tell my mom, let's eat something, I'm hungry, she would say, okay, let us begin the prayer. And mind you, it is not the grace before meals. It is a half an hour of a prayer, of singing the rosary, Bible reading, etc., etc. It's, mm-hmm. half an hour where everyone takes part, and that's a discipline that has been consistently practiced day in and day out.
Do you feel that that adds something to one's life as opposed to, let's say, those people that say grace before meals, or those people that give thanks in just a quick way, for those, frankly, relatively few people that do that kind of thing here. Do you think that that does anything insofar as enhancing one's connection with God?
Absolutely, absolutely. Because that half an hour of prayer on a daily basis simply grounds us in God.
Mm-hmm.
And that, in a sense, gives us the opportunity to recognize the place of God in our lives over a period of time, rather than just a one-minute prayer of grace before meals, you know?
Okay, so
it does
grounds us with God. So what does that mean? What is the advantage of that?
I mean, the advantage is, first of all, to recognize that I am not self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
There is a higher power that controls me in some sense, that I'm dependent on someone else. And therefore, that is, in Christian terms, we call that God, and we ask for God's blessings on a daily basis. We thank God at the end of the day, and we pray that God will bless us as we begin the day. So it grounds us in God in that sense.
Okay, so it's not forgetting that relationship, so to speak.
No.
Institutionalizing a way
exactly.
to connect.
Correct.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Now, I realize I'm rapid-firing questions at you, but since I have you here and it's only for 20 minutes, I want to make sure that I get my money's worth. You know,
no problem.
We're all being paid big bucks here. So, so much is going on in religion today. There are people leaving religion. There are people leaving all different types of formalized religion. In many sectors of society, not only in the States but elsewhere, it's becoming, relatively speaking, a godless society. The meaning of faith, religion, to one's life doesn't seem to be a priority, so to speak. What's your sense about that? Do you have hope for the future so far as bringing the values that religion espouses, not only Catholic, but Jewish and Presbyterian and Muslim?
Mm-hmm.
What's your sense about that?
No, as far as I understand, I mean, I would say, what is the role of religion?
Okay.
Religion is a tool in our search for God. Religion is meant to take us towards God, towards a divine experience, because every human being in the heart of heart looks for that divine experience. If religion doesn't help for that goal, then naturally people search for other options. So for me, religion is a tool. And like any tool, if it doesn't serve the purpose, naturally we leave that tool and choose something else. So even though I'm a spokesperson for the Catholic Church, as a religious institution, if Catholicism fails human beings or Catholics, they will naturally look around.
Mm-hmm.
Natural, because this is especially America is a land of choices, and with regard to religion, so we have plenty of choice. And so it would depend on me as the Catholic priest to make sure that this religion becomes the right tool for helping people to experience God.
Okay. What do you see? Let's take a look at the Catholic Church. Catholic, loosely translated, refers to the universal, the idea that there's a universal church.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They used to say it's the one and only, but now there's more of a partnership.
It's changed, yes.
Yeah. But what do you see the role of the Catholic Church and leadership role in the world today?
Yeah. I would say it is the role of Jesus, the role that Jesus showed us, to accept people as they are and live those very values in example in our own personal lives as leaders. And that would be the moral authority, much stronger and more powerful than any preaching or any document that would be sent, written and sent out, you know. So it's a personal witness after the example of Jesus. That's the leadership role that should be helpful to the world and that the world will appreciate.
So how does a huge organization, which is relatively speaking to many organizations quite lean insofar as authority structure, but how does a huge organization like the Catholic Church accomplish this? How does it cultivate souls, so to speak?
Yeah, that is through our own, I mean, when I say our own, it's the leaders, our own ongoing conversion.
Mm-hmm.
We are not perfect. Even if I'm the pastor or I'm the bishop or a cardinal,
mm-hmm.
we are all supposed to be examining ourselves each day to see how much what I do is corresponding to the mission of Jesus, the message of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus. And I need to do that on an ongoing basis. And it is only that will that's what will help me to be effective as leader for the people I serve.
Okay, as a better pastor, a
mm-hmm.
better priest.
Yep, absolutely.
Now, you encounter all types of situations today. Is there anything that rises to the level where you feel that there is a real role for faith in people's lives? Do you see anything going on in society that you think could be, let's say, addressed in a more positive way through faith?
No, when I mingle with the people, when I come to know individuals more closely, I see there is so much of heartache, so much of pain, so much of a division, disappointment, and people can be helped if they can have that connection with this God that we are preaching about,
mm-hmm.
the God of the Bible, the God who incarnated himself in Jesus Christ, who became one like us, so that this Jesus's life is a beacon of light and a beacon of hope to people who are in misery. So once we present that God in that light, not as a God of rituals, not as a God of doctrines and prescriptive formalities of religious tools or worship, no, but as a God who is reaching out, understanding, helping, accepting people as they are, a God who is inclusive. So once that happens, that is the role of faith for me.
That sense of being one with.
Yep.
Now, along the lines, as you were talking, I was thinking of the current leader of the Catholic Church,
mm-hmm.
and at least the popular kind of
right,
view
right,
of
right.
of Pope Francis.
Yep.
Many of the popes, many of the individuals in recent history
right.
who have become pope have been quite the intellectuals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 5, 6, 7 languages, have written all types of treaties and positions, and been able to communicate with cultures all over the world.
Right.
This fellow, if you don't mind me referring to him in that way,
yes.
This fellow seems to have what you were just talking about. He seems to have that connectiveness with people that necessarily isn't through dogma or various types of gestures, prescribed gestures. How do you see Pope Francis?
No, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. Because he gives another dimension of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a Catholic. Not one who is emphasizing the doctrine,
mm-hmm.
but one who is more concerned about the individual's needs, the pastoral outreach on a human level. You understand the person. It is only then that person can be elevated
mm-hmm.
to experiencing the divine. So he is starting from the human level, and people can connect with him. So therefore he is much more relatable than other popes.
Do you think he's helped matters as a religious leader in the world? Do you think he has helped bring more hope to more people?
He certainly has brought so much more hope than any other world leader, not really about the popes I'm talking about,
mm-hmm.
any other world leader.
That's an interesting
right,
view of
that. Right, right. Because there is so much of a positive image about
mm-hmm.
him from not only Catholics, not only Christians, but also non-Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Even atheists are very open to him, and they see a sign of hope in him because of his humanness.
How do you know that? How do you see that? And I mean, what you're your grounding for saying that?
For saying that, first of all, the reports. Now, I had a friend who is a Hindu, and he says in our workplace, in his workplace, he was telling me, there are some Catholics. And he says that these Catholics were ashamed to talk about religion because there would always be attacks on the Catholic Church. But now everyone is happy to talk about the Catholic Church because of this one man, Francis. And the Catholics are proud of that. And the Hindus, he said, even I'm happy to hear about the positive side of the Church through this Francis.
So he's somebody that kind of landed in the nick of time, so to speak.
Correct. I would say yes. Such a person was badly needed for the world of today and especially for the Catholic Church.
Yeah, I think if anyone doubts the power and the role of leadership, really effective leadership, need not look much further than Francis in many respects.
He really gives the example of a servant leadership.
Mm-hmm. Now, in your position, you are a pastor of a well-formed parish. What I understand, people like you have a lot of respect for you. What do you see the future of the parish as being, and maybe even what do you see your future as being?
No, the future of the parish is depending on the people, meaning the more they become Christ-like, the more they become evangelizers, the more they are conscious of their duty and the call to be a disciple of Jesus, then there is great possibilities for this parish.
Now, what do you mean by evangelizer?
Oh, evangelizing is, the idea of introducing someone to Jesus, or simply talking to someone about Jesus, about the divine experience, sharing the good news. That would be an example of being an evangelizer. Not necessarily being a missionary to far out lands, outside the country or elsewhere. Mm-hmm. No, just what is your experience of Jesus Christ? What is good about being in the church? What is good about being part of this particular community that you appreciate? Speak about that. You're already becoming an evangelizer to your own people, to your own neighbors, to your own family members.
Well, you have been a priest now for 31 years.
Right.
How do you see the next 31 in Father Abraham's life?
I just take one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It all depends. Now, I'm assigned here. When the term is over, I could be reassigned elsewhere depending on the bishop because I have promised obedience to my bishop, who is a bishop of Metuchen Diocese, Bishop Paul Butkowski. So it depends on him or whoever the bishop would be when the term is over, you know.
Well, you will be missed if you leave, that's for sure. We had a good one before you in Father Bill Mikowicz.
Yes, he was a great man. He was a great man. I really admire him.
Well, I think there's probably a mutual admiration society there, from what I understand.
Correct.
That's really our time together today, but is there anything that you would like to bring? I'll let you have the closing moment if you wish.
No, since we are talking about religion, I always insist that if religion is presented in the right way, then there is hope for people. Otherwise, people will leave religion without leaving spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the young adults. Today they would say, I'm spiritual but not religious. Why is that? Because the established religions don't serve the purpose of leading people to spirituality. So there are two components. So for me, religion would be an external expression of what is spiritual. As long as I am able to do that in the right way, people can experience spirituality through religion, that is experiencing God.
That was the Reverend Dr. Abraham Oropankal. He is, again, the pastor of the Catholic community of St. John Neumann's in Califon, New Jersey. I appreciate so much you taking the time to come down here and have a chat with us.
Thank you. Thank you, John. It was really a pleasure. Thank you.
Take care.